The Monty Show is back and better than ever. Hello to everybody on Periscope. Hello to everybody on Facebook Live. If you are not joining us on one of those two platforms, you really probably should. We do every show live on Periscope, live on Facebook, and it's really easy to find us in both of those places. It's The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Big show today. LaBelle Edwards is really front and center in this show. He is a titan of college football. He passed away this week, so Jake and I are going to talk a lot about his legacy and who really was LaBelle Edwards, because I think there's a lot of people in this country who didn't even know who LaBelle Edwards was. And I think he deserves better than that. We'll talk LaBelle here in a bit. The year in sports in 2016. Start thinking about this right now as we get into this. What was your number one sports thing that happened this year? We have, 2 days, Jake, left in this year?
It's gone by super quick.
Start thinking about that. Your number one sports moment. Guys sitting out bowl games, would you pay $30,000 for a pair of shoes? No. No, you pay $30,000 for shoes. No, you lose. That's Jake's favorite Russian guy voice. By the way, we're grooving a little bit today. I really like this. Jake, Mixmaster Jake, picked out Broken City by Audio Slave. Like that a lot. Let's get to work, because I want to get into LaBelle Edwards. I really, really, really did not need that news this week. And if you're a BYU fan, I don't think I have to tell you who LaBelle Edwards was. And I one of the things that I struggle with, and certainly during my time in Utah, I learned this very quickly, that BYU does not get the respect that they have earned. And there's a number of reasons for that. Whether it is the fact that it's an LDS institution, whether it is the fact that BYU is, they're just those weird guys. It's a bunch of white dudes. Whether it is that or whatever it might be. BYU athletically, religiously, educationally, BYU will always get shortchanged for one reason or another. So fast forward to this week when LaBelle passes away. And immediately, a friend of mine that I was talking to about this said, well, LaBelle Edwards, what's the big deal? And that's when the light went off in my head, Jake. I was like, and I respect this guy. Granted, he's a USC fan, so he knows nothing about sports.
Obviously.
But hello. But when a college football guy says, what's the big deal? Doesn't know anything about LaBelle Edwards, and this guy's 36 years, 37 years old, so he should know. How underappreciated do you think LaBelle was as a football coach, as a guy?
Massively, massively. He paved the way for everything that is right with BYU athletics, whether that's on the field, whether that's off the field. His stats alone speak for themselves. So I think it's really almost shocking for me that more people don't know who this guy really was, because he really was a central figure of the institution.
Yeah, and I think LaBelle Edwards made a lot of things possible. And we can talk about 250-plus wins, 257 wins to be exact. We can go up and down, that he has six Hall of Fame players, that he, you know, really put out some of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play college football. We certainly could talk about a number of things, including 1984, the national championship. And let's be honest, if you are a BYU fan, that chip is probably what you are living on today. 1984 was one of the greatest years of your sports fandom. And LaBelle Edwards is directly responsible for that national championship. But he's also directly responsible for a lot of the men on that football team, a lot of those people on that football team that survived that. And during my time in Utah, I was able to talk to guys like Kalani Sitake, the current head coach at BYU, about what LaBelle Edwards meant to him. Derek Stevenson, who is a crazy man, but he's got great stories about what LaBelle Edwards did for him. Ty Detmer. I could go on. The list is endless of men that Lavelle Edwards touched in a way that changes who you are as a human being. And to me, that's what Lavelle Edwards was. Lavelle was a great football coach. I mean to take nothing away from what he did or what his teams did, or I mean to take nothing away from that. But Lavelle Edwards, the man, Lavelle Edwards, the human being, is what was so special, because he's not a guy, you know, think about some of the names he won with, if you will. Think about guys like Bear Bryant. Think about Woody Hayes. Think about Bo Schembechler comes to mind in that era of guys. Think about Bobby Bowden. Lavelle Edwards was in that conversation when he retired with 257 wins. He was there. But he was also there with Joe Paterno. And I think, and I'm not trying to get back into digging up all the negativity that is around Joe Paterno. That did not happen with Lavelle Edwards. That was not an issue. And Jake, I think that matters. I don't mean to run on here, but I think it matters that a guy like Lavelle Edwards never had an issue like Joe Paterno had. And I'd like to think if he did, he would have handled it with a lot more class and stability and honor.
Yeah, I mean, as one of those guys, that's what you would like to think he would do. I totally agree with that. I think it says a ton about who he is as a man that he never had any of those kinds of issues with his players. He ran a really tight program. All of his players were grade A people. I think for the most part, we can say that his guys were good guys.
Yeah.
And I think that really says something, because that's really what BYU is about. They're about turning out good human beings.
That's exactly right.
And then football is fifth, or football is after that. So, you know.
Thanks, Bronco.
Hey.
Yeah, you're right. I think when we look back at the life of Lavelle Edwards, I'll think about the fact that Kyle Whittingham is a head coach at Utah and Kalani's the head coach at BYU. Those are two Lavelle guys. I think about somebody like Andy Reid, who is a Lavelle guy and a great example of the kind of work that Lavelle Edwards does. I think about stuff like that. I think about the Holmgrens and the Billicks. And I thought Norm Chow had a lot of great things to say about Lavelle Edwards yesterday. I think that's what's so great about who Lavelle was. The fact that, you know, I think I was reading in the Deseret News that Lavelle was supposed to play golf before the bowl game with a former player of his, but was unable to do that. And the fact that he keeps in touch, he has friendships, he has relationships that run decades, because that's who this guy is. So you think about, well, where did Lavelle leave BYU? I think he left it in remarkable, remarkable shape. I think he built a legacy that will last forever. Yes, his name is on the stadium. Should they put his initials on the uniform?
Yes.
Should they put his initials on the sleeve forever?
Yes.
I think he should.
He's done that much for them, the institution. He's done that much for them. If it's on the stadium, it should be on the uniform. It's that simple. The guys paved the way for what BYU represents.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really that simple.
I agree. You know, I ran a Twitter poll yesterday. 400 votes, 74% said yes. Put the initials on the sleeve forever.
Yes.
Like the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
Riboflavin LLC is where I first saw this. Riboflavin said, I'd be in favor of BYU football adding an LE to the uniform permanently, a la the Chicago Bears with George S. Halas. Well, obviously, I'm a Chicagoan, and all of my Bear jerseys that I have, including Walter Payton, I have an Urlacher.
It's on the hat that we have.
It's on the back of the hat that I have. Yes, that we have. Because that's what George Halas meant to the organization. He is Chicago Bear football. Who is more quintessential BYU football than Lavelle Edwards?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody. That's why his name's on the stadium. That's why his name should be on the sleeve forever. And it's a huge honor. But can you really make the argument that Lavelle has not earned that honor?
No.
I don't know what the argument would be.
I don't know.
He got you a national championship. Lavelle Edwards is the foundation for every snap that happens, for every blade of grass on a practice field, for every seat in a stadium, for every fan, for every player, for every generation, past, current, and into the future. Lavelle Edwards is the reason that it's possible, in my opinion, football-wise. Now, of course, we can talk about the church, and we can talk about the lifestyle and the honor code, and I think all of that has a place. But when we're talking about honoring Lavelle Edwards, I can't think of a reason not to do that.
But that's why we're honoring him, because he was able to go through all of that and balance it, because that's what it is when you're the head coach at BYU. You're balancing lifestyle. You're balancing football and winning and keeping your fans happy. You're balancing all these different things. And he did it for decades.
Yeah.
No problem. No issues. National championship. That's why you're honoring the guy. It's really that simple. There's not an argument, in my opinion, against the guy.
So, by the way, I'll maintain that Kalani Sitake is the perfect guy to be the head coach at BYU. I'm listening to him talk the other day. You know, listening to Tom Homo on the interwebs, giving his thoughts and feelings and you know, the emotion that Tom showed, the leadership that is at BYU right now, I don't know that it could ever be more fitting to have the men that are in place leading the football program. I think you have the perfect mix of human being there. You know what I mean? I think when you have a guy like Tom Homo, who is not scared to show emotion, when you have a guy like Kalani Sitake who lives on emotion, but yet both of those men have to play this balancing act and lead men and make boys into men and yet still win football games and still talk about competing for another national championship and still talk about, hey, we've got to get into a major conference. Yet when something like this happens, an icon passes, or somebody you've never heard of, but you know the relationship is in place with Tom and Kalani, they're just the perfect people to have in place. If you were, because for those of you who don't know, Jake is my son. He's 23. If you were 18 and you wanted to play football, I'd have, now we're not LDS. We're just simple Christians. But I would have no problem sending you to play for Kalani Sitake and Tom Homo. And I would not worry about you one single day. I would sleep as well as I've ever slept.
Well, and I think that's the difference with BYU. That is why you send somebody to BYU.
Yeah.
So that you're not guaranteed, but you're pretty well guaranteed that they're going to stay on the straight and narrow at BYU if they follow the program, if they go to class and do all the things that they should be doing and don't do the things they shouldn't be doing. It's pretty much you can book it that they're going to have a great college experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's the greatness of BYU compared to other schools, and that's why you go to BYU.
That's right. By the way, just some details coming out. A week from today, Friday, January 6th at 6 Mountain, there will be a public memorial service for Lavelle Edwards. And then the funeral services will be private. They will be next Saturday. So this is going to be a very difficult week in the BYU community. That's an awful, it's an awful loss. It happened so suddenly. But obviously Lavelle's an icon, and to spend a few minutes talking about him, I think I'm very lucky to have met him twice. I think I've met him. I talked to him for maybe 5 minutes the one time, but he's just such a different guy. I don't know. I could go on about it, but we definitely lost an icon of college football. It goes without saying that Lavelle is an icon from the state of Utah. The guy never left the state. I mean, it's amazing. High school coach, played at Utah State. I mean, it's a fairy tale. It is a fairy tale life. that he led. Speaking of fairy tales, 2016 for a lot of people was not a fairy tale. Let's be honest. Good year or bad year? Just in general, not just sports, but just in general. Good year or bad year?
I'm leaning towards bad year, but I don't want to be negative Nancy around here, so we'll say average year. We'll say average year.
Did you just call yourself a woman?
No.
Negative Nathan. You're welcome. We'll let it go. I'm going to say it was
For sports or life? Sports was a pretty darn good year.
Well,
life, not.
Life, meh. Sports, yes. Yes. The number one moment for me this year was obviously the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series.
And I think, and let's be honest, I think that was the number one moment for millions and millions of people, not just from the Chicagoland area, from globally, really. It's a big deal that it happened. So,
but I waited my entire life for that.
And it was honestly interesting to me. You know, we're you know, when the game is going on and that they're on the field celebrating and they're doing their thing, it was interesting. You're sitting on the couch, and I would expect you to be jumping for joy. But what was interesting is it was not like that. It was more surreal for you. It was an emotional experience for you because you had waited your entire life, and now all of a sudden, oh, they've won the World Series.
I didn't know how to react. I didn't know how to react. Honestly, when the Cubs won the World Series, it was almost like one of those things where you hit pause and you're like, did that really happen? No, that didn't happen.
It's that moment where you dreamed it and you weren't really sure if it happened, and then you wake up and it happened.
Did they really, really win the World Series?
Yes.
Man. They won the World Series. What's up, Finn Daddy? Casey Finlinson joins us on Periscope, one of our loyals. But you know what, man? I'm so thrilled it's over. It was just such a great moment. It hit me laying in bed one night. Don't. Do not desecrate this moment. It hit me laying in bed one night. I'm a thinker, okay? So when I lay in bed at night, and I fall asleep like within 12 seconds, let's be honest. It doesn't take me long to fall asleep. But there are some nights where I like to think, and usually how I think is I pray. So if I can't sleep, I automatically pray. And there was one night where I spent some time talking to God about the Cubs, and I got really emotional doing that. And I don't even know that I've told you this, but that's how I don't know what it is about. The Cubs are very different for me. I'm a passionate sports fan. I love few things more than the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago Bears, Chelsea football. There are few things I love more than those three things. It took me, the Cubs are different. The Cubs are very different. So it took me some time to process that. So when I finally did process it, it was really emotional.
Yeah.
I can, you know, and I know this is, you know, just one of these really small things, but it brought me back to art class in like third grade, because that was 1984 for me. We talked a lot about LaVell Edwards a few minutes ago, but speaking of 1984, that was the Cubs losing in the playoffs in San Diego, Leon Durham. I cried. 1989, I cried. 2003, I cried.
Painful. Painful.
They win the World Series and I cried a little bit in my own self. I was stunned. Some of the other things that stood out to me, obviously LeBron winning a championship. That was huge. What was the number one thing for you?
You know, I am a passionate NBA guy, but it has to be the Cubs winning the World
Series.
You're
a jerk. He's such a jerk.
See what I did there?
Don't play games with my soul, brother. Don't play games.
Yeah, definitely the Cubs winning the World Series. I think.
Yes, we do.
Finn Daddy's right. It's
Casey Finlinson on Periscope says we invest so much into sports, it's always emotional. Yeah, that's exactly
it's
right.
It's not that they won the World Series. It's that it's at what time they won the World Series. What it brings back all these memories for you. For me, I can remember in my childhood, you know, watching the Cubs and the Cardinals in that 90-degree muggy Chicago weather that it, Chicago is notorious for.
Yeah.
And that's really my childhood, watching them just get annihilated in the NL Central every year.
And but, you know, funny thing is, you say that, but that's kind of, not to go back to LaVell Edwards, I would imagine a lot of BYU fans felt that way.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's another...
Because he built your childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
But so your number one moment was the Cubs, but I'm going to guess LeBron's a close second.
You know, it was... So I'm not a LeBron guy. I've said this repeatedly. I'm a Durant guy. But watching LeBron go through that and really that...
Go back to Cleveland.
You know, go back to Cleveland, come full circle, the rundown block, you know, to really... That was the biggest moment in that entire series. That's when you knew, uh-oh, they're going to blow this. And then what I've appreciated since then is all the memes of all the different ways that you can get back to the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. It's just been amazing.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We're talking about the single biggest moment of 2016. I think LeBron's there. Jose Fernandez dying in a boating accident.
That really bothered me.
That for days.
Really bothered me.
For days. And it bothered me more that it turned out he had illicit drugs in his system, and he was, you know, I believe he was drunk as well. That bothered me.
It's such a waste of life. And that's the hardest part because... You know, he's got an opportunity to be a Hall of Famer if you really think about it.
Well, and he has a child on the way.
He's got a child. He's got all the talent in the world. He's got he's been paid enough to support him for the rest of his life, yeah. 10 times over.
But that's kind of the problem, I think, with some people, is that guys like Jose Fernandez tend to think they're bulletproof.
Yeah.
And you're not bulletproof. We talk about this all the time because Jake's a terrible driver. That's not true. Jake has a sports car. So he is, how shall I say, Jake is an aggressive driver at times. But so I always say to him, hey, man, be careful driving. When he leaves the house and he's actually driving without me, when he's not in the BMW 535i blacked out, because that's who this guy is. The point is, you're not bulletproof. Nobody's bulletproof. I think some of the people that passed this year, and now you can add LaVell Edwards to this list of Muhammad Ali, Arnold Palmer, Gordie Howe, are some of the biggest names that passed away.
Yeah, there's a laundry list this year.
Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
It was a tough sports year. It really was a tough sports year.
Another thing I think people are forgetting is the baseball event that happened in Cuba. What, wasn't it in Cuba?
Oh, yeah.
When
yes.
Obama goes to Cuba, watches the baseball game.
Yes, on ESPN.
On ESPN.
We watched that together. Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting thing. You know, I think a lot of the time.
And then Castro passed.
So that there's that story. So there's a lot of storylines in 2016. And for sports, it was a great year. For people, it was not a good year.
No, it really wasn't. But, you know, I think, you know, this Ronda Rousey fight tomorrow could really be something interesting.
Deal for Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, that could be one of those things that defines the UFC for a while going forward. That'll be interesting. This has just been such an interesting, you know, with the death of Princess Leia and her mom, Debbie Reynolds then died, Carrie Fisher, I say Princess Leia, but Carrie Fisher passing away, I think that's interesting. This week has not been great. You know what I mean? This week is not, this has been a tough week. And maybe it's every year. Am I crazy that this year has felt like an emotional drain?
It has been.
The election cycle was horrendous.
Let's not get into politics.
This is not a Trump thing. But I think the entire election process was a drain.
And then to have, you know, all the claims that Russia influenced the election and all that. It just
got dragged out.
It's never ending. It's just.
Yeah, it's never ending. Congratulations. Casey, again, Casey says that his daughter being born was the best part of 2016. Make sure you find us on Twitter. That's where you find all live things. This show is broadcast live on Twitter through Periscope and on Facebook. Both of those are The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Let me ask you a question, because obviously it's bowl week, and the national championships coming up, and so a lot of big football games are being played. One of the interesting storylines is Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette sitting out games. And now we found out that Jabril Peppers wasn't going to play in Michigan's bowl game, and that's because he was injured, they say, but who knows what. Is it a problem to you when you have guys who are waiting for their gazillion-dollar paydays? Do you have a problem with guys like Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette sitting out their bowl games?
Yeah, because all that says is they're not committed to their team, and they're a them guy. And don't get me wrong, I understand why they don't want to get hurt. I get that.
Wow.
But you've just spent all this time with your teammates. They've helped you get to the point where you're at. Because think about it. If you're a running back, you don't get anywhere without that offensive line and your wide receivers blocking for you.
Okay, but here's my question. What is Fournette and McCaffrey, what do they have to gain by playing in the game? What do they have to gain?
But feel how selfish that is.
But no, I understand. But what do they have to gain?
They don't have anything to gain.
Hey, look, there's no question. Fournette and McCaffrey sitting out is incredibly selfish. It is very much an I-me-first move, no doubt about it.
It's everything that is wrong with sports, in my opinion.
I agree with that 100%. If I'm McCaffrey or Fournette's dad, I tell him not to play. I have no problem with it. Because, honestly, I say I have no problem with it. I hate that they're not going to play. Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette are two of the best backs in the country. But they're sitting on paydays, and this is unique to football. This is unique to football. Every snap could be your last. You cannot say that about baseball, hockey, basketball. Every snap in football is a car wreck. Every single one. So when you hand the ball to Leonard Fournette, who plays at LSU, man, he's getting 20 ass whoopings a week.
But that's
a
what
lot.
He signed up for.
I don't disagree, but he also signed up to get paid.
And that's all fine and dandy, but I will never subscribe to you starting the season with your boys 0-0 and them getting you to the position you're in now, and then all of a sudden you're not going to play in the biggest game. Because let's face it, it's not a big game to them. It's a big game to everybody else.
Oh, it's a big game to them. It's a big game
to them.
Clearly
it's not big enough because they're willing to sit out. And that's
all
I need
to know. I'm telling you it's a big game to them.
But to me, it's totally selfish to me. I agree with Finn Daddy. It is 100% selfish. And you guys can say you're okay with it. I'm not okay with it. You're totally turning your back on your teammates.
It sucks. You're right. You are abandoning your teammates. There's no way to get away from that. I agree with you.
Because what nobody wants to talk about is that the guys that don't make it to the NFL, this could be their last game for the seniors.
Oh, sure. 99.9% of guys on rosters don't play another down after their senior bowl game. I agree with you. But for guys like McCaffrey and Fournette, it's not about today. It's about tomorrow and the next 5 years where they're on the precipice of making enough money to support themselves for the rest of their lives. For the rest of their lives.
So Dalvin Cook from Florida State.
Yes.
He's playing.
Yeah, but he's probably coming back next year.
Okay, probably, maybe not. He'll make that choice. But he's still playing.
Because he made the... And listen, dude, I agree with you, Jake. It's an individual choice. Dalvin Cook made a choice to play.
But they shouldn't have the choice to sit out, is my point.
Ooh,
they should not have the choice.
No, I totally disagree.
They shouldn't have the choice.
It is their lives. Who owns their lives? They do. And, they have to think about, well, what is the team who's going to draft me think about this? Well,
that
I'm
you're
gonna,
a better man for going and playing the game and showing that you have the guts to go and play.
Do you remember Willis? Oh, man. McGahee.
Yeah.
McGahee.
Yeah.
What happened to him on his last college football game?
I don't remember that.
Destroyed his knee.
Okay.
Just crushed his draft. I mean, it was...
But he still got drafted.
It was... Yeah, he did, but he probably... Willis McGahee was probably going to be one of the top picks in the draft.
Okay, see, but here's my problem with that right there, that statement. Probably going to be one of the top picks in the draft. I don't care where you're going to get drafted. You're going to get drafted. It's that simple. So what you do after you get drafted is all that matters.
He was going to be a top five pick.
Okay, that's great. He's still going to get more than enough money to support himself for the rest of his life. I'm not getting on it.
See, how much is enough money?
There's never enough money.
Never. Not for these guys. Not for guys who got to take care of their entire family and their entire crew and... Willis McGahee was easy, top five lock. The guy was a stud. Tears his knee up. He gets drafted 20, 30, loses 20 draft spots worth of compensation. Now, He you're right. He got paid. The guy got paid. He had a very nice career. You know, my guess is that he wouldn't change a thing, but boy, it's tough when you say, well, Willis McGahee was one of the best college running backs and he had to sit out 2003 to recover from his knee injury. And he only has 4,000 yard rushing seasons. How much did he not play because of that knee? I have no problem with these guys sitting out. None. And I guess we'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
It's their lives. It's their bodies. You cannot say to them, you have to play.
I can certainly say you should have to suit up. They should at least have to stand on the sideline.
Oh, I think they will. I don't think they have any trouble being around their boys, you know, being there to motivate them. I don't know that the coaches want them around. But I don't know. I don't know. I can't see saying you have to play. It's not up to you. It's not up to you. It's up to them. It's their, you know what I mean? It's their body.
Right. I get it's their body, but at what point? It's a team sport. It's not okay. Yeah. You can put the only time they put themselves before anything is when they want to get paid. Let's be honest. That's all they care about is money.
College athletics is a business.
Yeah, and so I'm never going to get on board with the idea that they should be allowed to sit out and, you know, they've done the most work they need to do and just all this nonsense about how, you know, all these other guys are going to have to play their final game and, you know, play as hard as they can and finish out the season, and then they'll make the next step.
Yeah. You're right. Hey, man, you're 100% right. It's not fair, but it's right. It's not fair, but it's right. Hey, real quick, we went to Tombstone, Arizona today. My mother-in-law's in town. We're like trying to go out and do more things. So we went to Tombstone, Arizona. Went to one of the most haunted buildings in the state of Arizona, this theater they have there. Jake, do you believe in ghosts?
Yep.
You do?
Yep.
I do too.
Yeah.
Did you feel any ghosts today?
Nah, we didn't really. Nah. See, the thing is.
Nah.
The hard part with it is when you have so many people there, and I could really get into this because I've kind of read about it and we watch a lot of paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
They say, and there's no actual proof behind this, sources. They say that the paranormal get intimidated by a lot of people. And so I don't think you'll ever experience
it. So you buy that?
Oh, I do. Totally, I do.
You think ghosts get intimidated?
Yeah, because I think each one is different. Each paranormal experience is totally different. Yes, Fin Daddy, Paranormal Lockdown, epic show.
Yeah, in the DVR.
Yeah.
On TLC, epic. Paranormal Lockdown, love that show.
Great show, very
Ghost
intense.
Adventures, love that show.
Yeah, that's where it started for me. But anyway,
Zach Bagans.
Yeah.
You're a stud. Anyway, yeah, I do believe in ghosts.
You know, would
you ever go and do what the Ghost Adventures
do? No, I couldn't do it.
I don't think
I couldn't
either.
Do it.
See, I think that ghosts naturally want to hurt you. I don't know why I believe that. I think ghosts want to mess with you. Ghosts, if you go and say, hey, Mr. Ghost, you must leave here. He's going to be like, all right, cool. I'll go chill at your place.
No.
I'm like, no, man. That's for sure they would come back to my place. That'd be my luck. No, I'm not doing that.
Not tempting fate.
I'm not doing that. No chance. I'm not tempting. Exactly.
I just like to say Dalvin Cook's playing with his boys, and they're winning the game. They're winning the game. Who would have known?
Here we go. Hey, let's wrap up the show talking about a $30,000 pair of shoes. Would you ever pay $30,000 for shoes?
Nope. Too much of a car guy.
Cars are not cheap. Steph Curry had his shoes auctioned off to benefit the victims of the fire in Oakland last month. And somebody paid $30,101. Is there any piece of sports memorabilia you'd pay $30,000 for?
Something Jordan related. Other than that, no.
The answer is no. I know this is probably a cop out as a dude who is a huge sports fan.
You know what the problem really is with it? What does sports memorabilia really do for you? It sits on your desk and looks awesome for the podcast.
Yeah.
It means a lot to your soul.
Yeah,
for 30 G's. You could go to London. You could go anywhere 10 times over.
That's a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
That's a, and it, again, we do this show live on Facebook and Periscope, and if you're watching us live or you watch the replay of our shows, you can see we have all kinds of memorabilia and stuff hanging around, but there's nothing I would pay for it. One thing that comes to mind, you remember the Jordan shot? Shot on Elo! Good! Yes. The first real, like, Michael Jordan moment yes. was that shot on Craig Elo. I might pay for that ball, not $30,000. There's nothing that I can pay $30,000 for.
No.
I'd much rather go to some far-off place I've never been to with my snowboard and ride down. It's killing me.
Team not Monty being in, has the itch.
Yeah, not being in Utah right now. I miss Utah so much. The snow, I miss canyons and PCMR and...
You know, they merge now.
Yeah.
One big deal now.
It's frustrating we haven't ridden that lift across.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it. Happen.
That's the stuff that's like, dang it. I miss the snow so badly right now. I have a $500 snowboard. I have like a $1,000 snowboard package we both do sitting in my garage right now in Mesa, Arizona.
Boots, pants, jerseys, the whole deal.
I miss it. I miss the GoPro videos, losing GoPro cameras on the mountain.
Okay, I don't know about loving all that, but...
I miss that. Hey, good show, Jake, as usual. By the way,
Wait, that's right.
You almost got away. What's up with your girlfriend who's not your girlfriend?
Sayonara.
Yeah, Jake dumped her.
Mamba out.
Jake dumped
Mamba
her.
Mamba out.
But our neighbor, Jennifer, is setting you up with a fine filly.
Yeah, East Coaster. We'll see how it goes.
She's cute.
Yeah, she's cute. She's got it going on. She's a nurse, so yeah, that's all you got to say.
Hi. I don't know how kids do it.
A little texting, a little social media.
I'm old. Know. I'm 43, about to be 44 in February, and I don't know how people date on Match.com or over social media. I want to look you in the eye, and I want all that stuff. I knew the moment I met my wife in person that it was over. So, anyway, good show. Thanks to everybody who watched. If you just picked up this show, make sure you subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter. You can see the show live. Rest in peace, LaBelle Edwards. Have a great last couple of days of 2016. Say goodbye, Jake.
Bye, Jake.